All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found, 'cause he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids.
Welcome back to That 590 Show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph taking your requests on the text line at 855-282-8255. The Bellman Automotive phone line right now is occupied by our good friend Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. Aloha, Mr. Hand. How are you?
Good evening, guys. Very well. How about yourself?
Can't complain. We got great things to talk about in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think they got the finals that the NHL wanted, which is the team in the Glamour City in Nashville, and then the team out east with the proven stars. I have a feeling they're very thankful that it's them. And even though Anaheim is part of Los Angeles, nobody out of Los Angeles gives a damn about Anaheim or the Ducks. So you have, you know, kind of like a forgotten team in Anaheim and Ottawa. The NHL didn't want that. They got the teams that they wanted.
Well, Anaheim and Ottawa was the Stanley Cup matchup in 2007, and it was one of the lowest rated.
There you go. That just proved my point.
Finals. So that, I mean, that is it. I think Anaheim and Pittsburgh would have been an interesting play from the standpoint of the on-ice performance, but if you don't have people turning in, it doesn't really matter what the product on the ice is like if you're not getting the casual and fan involved. Tell you what, and one thing that I would say that I think benefits Nashville and the perception of Nashville more than anything is it's really hard not to have a good time when you're in Nashville. And all the media people, all the TV people, all the people that have to travel to the Stanley Cup Finals know that. So I think that's why you see some of that tendency of how we want to see Nashville on it. Why? Because that means they get to go to Tootsie's after the games, and they get to enjoy Broadway. And that, I think, does actually play a part into why you see some of the people saying, yes, Nashville's in it. If this same Nashville team was playing, you know, if it was the Florida Panthers with this collection, I don't think you would see the same level of all the excitement about it. And Nashville really is the example of, you know, why you build an arena in the right place and what it will do for you when your team starts having any type of success. And now you see it when the team's having the most success in their franchise history.
I think another thing they like as well is that, I mean, Nashville does have a little bit of a celebrity factor, that you have, you know, some of those country music stars are going to be there. You saw people from the NFL there too. You saw DeMarco Murray, and you saw Dak Prescott. You have the Titans offensive line sitting in the front row crushing beer cans on their head. And, you know, I think the NHL kind of likes this atmosphere that Nashville brings.
You know, the NHL doesn't get that very often. And that's one of the neat things about it is, and you see it a little bit, you know, they played up the whole John Hamm thing with the Blues when they went on their playoff run and then the Winter Classic. And when you think of the Chicago Blackhawks celebrity fan, you think of Vince Vaughn, you know, and the NBC likes to do this, and they really like the cross-promotion, and in Nashville you have a lot of it, which does help, and that's what this league's about, and that's what the NHL needs to do. But you kind of wish the way the NHL wants to market and get the cross-promotion with stars, you wish that was the way they would market their stars a little bit more. And, you know, the NHL can say a lot of things of, you know, and NBC can say a lot of things, but Connor McDavid was never shown on NBC once this season.
How do they? Does that happen?
Because it's Edmonton,
I understand that. As Edmonton is not. I mean, there's probably, I would imagine, a good chunk of the American populace has no idea where Edmonton even is. But I mean, if you have a great young talent like Connor McDavid, you want to
show
it. Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that's been one of the big criticisms of the league for years is they don't do enough to market their players. And, you know, the NHL has a perfect platform right now to really market PK Subban. And when you're talking about the popularity of Subban and the entrance level in him, ESPN's doing a big E60 feature with him with Jeremy Schapp. And when was the last time you saw any type of, you know, NHL star being interviewed on ESPN 60? And it's those type of things that the NHL – really needs to take advantage of this and really blow it out as much as they can and maximize the exposure from this markup.
Let's talk about PK. Let's talk about PK Subban, because it looks like the way that this matchup is going to be on the ice is going to be the great defenseman that that Nashville has going up against the great centers that Pittsburgh has, Sidney Crosby and Malkin.
It really is, and I'll go a little bit further with that. Is you take that 1-4 of you have the Malkin as on the second line, you have Crosby as the first line center, and then you have a 3-4, which is as good as Nashville what I've seen yet as well, and Matt Cullen on the fourth line and Nick Bonino on the third line. And the scary thing for Pittsburgh and the scary thing for Nashville is that third line really hadn't done much in this postseason. It was mostly the top two lines. And then they started to show signs of getting it figured out, which is going to present some interesting challenges. But, yeah, it's a shame that Ryan Johansson got injured, the first line center for the Preds, and that he's out for this postseason. Because if he was in there, that would be even more of a matchup. But it really is the old debate in the NHL is you need a first line top number one defenseman, and you need the number one center to win. And Nashville is without their number one centerman now, and Pittsburgh's been playing this entire Stanley Cup run without their number one defenseman. And when you have that, it's an interesting balance. Which one is more important? Is it the defense or is it the center? And it'll be fun. And mostly when you talk to people and when you talk to the experts around the league and when you talk to people who are trying to predict this series, those who feel that center is most important are almost unanimously picking Pittsburgh, and those who feel like the defense is a big thing is picking Nashville. Now, I think the biggest thing that you're going to see in the series is the winner of the series is going to be which goaltender can play the best out of Pekka Rinne and Matt Murray, and the possibility of maybe even Marc-Andre Fleury gets back in there.
Do you think there's any way Marc-Andre Fleury gets back on the ice the way that Matt Murray's been playing, though?
Well, not if Matt Murray keeps playing like he has, but if Murray struggles in a game and they're forced to make the change, I don't think Sullivan's gonna hesitate for a second to throw Fleury back out there. And I mean, he performed very admirably until he had a couple hiccups in the series, and it wasn't even so much on Marc-Andre Fleury; it was more of the play of the Penguins. But this is going to be fun. One of the things that I like most about this series is this is the first time in the postseason Nashville is going to be playing a team that can keep up with their speed, and that is going to be fun to watch. If you're a fan of fast hockey and frantic type of hockey and hockey that has 2 or 3 minutes of just end-to-end action where it looks like neither team has control, you're going to see some of that, or more of this in the series than you did in any series that Nashville has played in yet, because Pittsburgh has the ability to make them have to play that way and match the speed.
Here's another fun thing, too, that this would be the first time that two American-born coaches are going to be facing each other in the Stanley Cup Finals. You have Pierre Laviolette, who is from Massachusetts, and so is Pittsburgh head coach Mike Sullivan. So, I mean, there's a first right there. That's kind of crazy. You never really probably put much thought into it. But, yeah, the first time that two American-born head coaches facing off in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Which just shows the popularity of the sport and shows the growth of the sport. In this country, that you've got to the point where you have those people in the ranks, and you have more American coaches, and it's a neat series for Laviolette and Sullivan because they know each other and they've coached together, and it'll be fun because they both know how the other one tries to get their success, and they both know the matchups, and they both know the system, who's going to be able to make those adjustments, and this is a heck of a series. It's hard to see. Exactly how it's going to shake out until you see what it's like on Monday night, and when you see what really is the strength of Nashville against Pittsburgh, and what is Pittsburgh going to be able to do that's going to take it away, or what's Pittsburgh going to do that they're going to be able to do to Nashville that no other team has been able to do. And it's intriguing, and it will mostly come down to goaltending. But I'm not feeling good about Nashville to start this series, just because as much as the layoff helps the rest of the roster, I do not like having a goaltender who hasn't faced live game action in over a week. And that's hard to simulate in practice. And there's nothing that is like having that heavy traffic in front of the net. And to make it on top of that, Pecorine now has to face a Malkin and a Crosby and a Kessel and a Brian Russ and a Kunitz and those guys who are very skilled. It's going to be terrific, and it's good for the league.
Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. I keep waiting for Nashville to miss center Ryan Johnson, who went down earlier with an injury, but so far it seems like they really haven't.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the one thing that we saw with that in the series is after he went down, the two games next that it took them to clinch it, you know, they had guys step up. You had Colton Sissons who got the hat trick, and you had Pecorine play just outstanding, and Nashville found just enough to be able to get it done against Anaheim. And the one thing about Anaheim is if you shut down Getzlaf and you shut down Corey Perry in the postseason, that was the formula for success. And this is the first time that Nashville's going to see two centers that are just hard to defend against, and they have the defenseman to do it. The question is going to be, can Nashville score enough? It's going to take more than 2-1 hockey games, and that's the way Nashville's won a lot of games so far. These are going to be more 4-3, you know, type of games. And can Nashville find a way to get that secondary scoring? And you know, what Nashville's done is impressive. I think this is going to be the series where you finally see. And I don't think if Nashville was playing Anaheim to start the series with the full seven games without Johansson, I don't think they could have done what they did. So how's it going to shape up? And if Nashville can just win a game in Pittsburgh, I think they've done excellent. And getting that back to Nashville, which has been such a almost automatic win for them so far in the postseason.
If I could read between the lines that you're laying out there, Mr. Hand, I believe that I can. I have a feeling that you're picking Pittsburgh to win this.
I am. I just think they have more depth, and I think it would be different if Johansson was in the lineup. But those, I mean, Pittsburgh's forwards, and the one concern about Pittsburgh, the one edge that you know Nashville has over Pittsburgh is their blue line. However, with the way how strong, I mean, Sidney Crosby has been playing two-way hockey, and when he's on the ice, I mean, the boast that it gets defensively, because it's one thing to be the best player in the league offensively, it's another one to be the best player in the league offensively and also the best two-way player. And the way that Crosby's been playing, his back check, his constant pursuit on the puck, he's given an energy type level that you would see out of a fourth line, and he's matching it with his first line skill, and that's after suffering a concussion in the second round. I mean, he's playing at another level right now. The caveat that I have is this is a series that if Pecorine says I'm going to steal, and his play says I'm going to steal, you know, when he's on his game like that, he can help win a series. But if Pecorine just has what would be a solid series, I don't think Nashville is going to have enough offense to get it done.
Nick, we appreciate your insight as always, sir. Enjoy your Memorial Day, and I'm sure we will have you on throughout the Stanley Cup Finals.
Looking forward to it, guys. You have a great weekend as well.
Thanks, Nick. That is Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. It is now time to head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk with a very attractive and powerful Matt Rocchio.
Alrighty then, Cardinals at Rockies. What are you doing this weekend, Burger? First pitch is set for 7:40 p.m. Carlos Martinez will take on the righty Antonio Senzatell. Senzatell on the season 6-1 with a 3.67 ERA, but he's struggled as of late. Back-to-back games, 5 innings and 4 earned runs each. Some changes in the Cardinal lineup today, and as Derek Gould just now tweeted out, Stephen Piscotty out of the lineup today as he's leaving the Cardinals to attend to a family matter. No corresponding move made there. That means that Randall Grichuk will still be playing. Tommy Pham also in the lineup today. Here's your full run of tonight's lineup. Dexter Fowler leading off, playing center field. Greg Garcia slides into the two-hole, playing shortstop.
Chris Carpenter's coming back, finally.
Sorry. We have plenty of starting pitching, Matt Berger, don't you worry. Matt Carpenter batting third and playing first base. Jerko cleaning up and playing third base. Molina fifth and behind the plate. Pham sixth playing left field, like we said, in 4, Piscotty 7. Grichuk, he'll move over and play Piscotty's right field spot and bat 7th. And then Wong in his usual spot of 8th and playing 2nd base, followed by the pitcher's spot. I'm Matt Arracchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Arracchio. Let's take a commercial break. And then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by our friend Kevin Brackett, film critic for RealSpoilers.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.